Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks to Fitness, episode number 37. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this program, I will be joined by Kenroy Grant, certified personal trainer out of Atlanta, Georgia. During the interview, Ken will take us on a journey from his youth growing up in Trinidad, moving to Brooklyn, New York with his family at the age of 10, and eventually settling down in Atlanta, Georgia. Ken will also discuss his philosophy on health and the reason he became a personal trainer and why he is currently pursuing a degree in alternative medicine. Ken will also give his advice on how to stay healthy and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Now, remember the words of Bradley Whitford, who said, "Infuse your life with action. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Make your own future. Make your own hope. Make your own love. And whatever your beliefs, honor your Creator, not by passively waiting for grace to come down from upon high, but by doing what you can to make grace happen yourself. Right now, here on earth. And now that's worth thinking about." Welcome back to 6 weeks of Fitness. Kenroy Grant is a certified personal trainer who was born in Trinidad and Tobago, raised in Brooklyn, New York, and now resides and conducts his personal training business in Atlanta, Georgia. His mission is to assist clients in meeting their fitness goals through personalized, comprehensive programs that promote health and functional fitness. Ken has nearly two decades of experience helping clients address health and fitness goals through an active approach to personal responsibility for nutrition and physical fitness. Ken conducts body shaping, weight management, and nutrition counseling that is geared towards goal-oriented results. In addition to having multiple certifications in the fitness industry, Ken is currently attending Everglades University, pursuing a degree in alternative medicine. I am very pleased to have Ken on our program. Ken, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Fantastic. Glad to be here.
Oh, man, I'm glad to have you, man. First of all, tell me, how's the weather down in Atlanta?
Right now, the weather, it's not bad. It's going to hit about 50 today, about 50-something.
Okay.
It's pretty mild. I mean, it's kind of like, I think it's almost the same way throughout most of the East Coast until you get up to, like, New York and everything changes.
Yeah. If you're 50 down there, we're about 35 here. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's the norm.
I'll trade that weather. But listen, before we talk about your personal training business down in Atlanta, let's talk about your journey into health, Ken. You were born in Trinidad. So let's start from there. Do you have any memories of living in Trinidad?
Oh, yeah, I got lots of memories. I mean, I moved to the States when I was 10 years old, but I remember from 5 going onward, it was huge. Because okay. I was little at the time. So everything seemed, you know, really big and green. I remember the smell of the plants, the fruits, everything in the air. I remember going to the beach.
Wow.
And now I realize that the beach wasn't really that far. When I was a kid, I felt like we were walking like a couple of miles, but it wasn't far at all. And I remember friends of the family. I remember Christmas time, carnival. I remember all that, man.
Now, tell me about your family life, though. How many siblings do you have?
I have total about 18 brothers and sisters.
Did you say 18 brothers and sisters, Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Really?
Yeah, my dad was he was something else.
Yeah. he was a very busy brother.
He was very, very, very busy. Very.
Oh, man. Are you still in touch with your siblings?
Not all of them, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, I haven't met all of them in my lifetime, but I've met about 10 total.
And they're still in the Caribbean, or there's some of them come up to the States?
Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some
okay.
In the States, some still in Trinity. They're everywhere, man.
Okay, so we established that you come from a large family.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, exactly. I know you were in Trinidad until you were 10, and you moved to New York, to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where did you grow up in Brooklyn?
Bed-Stuy area.
Oh, Bed-Stuy, really?
Bed-Stuy, do or die, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Look, I'm very familiar with that growing up in Brooklyn myself, and a lot of my listeners are very familiar with Brooklyn. So we applaud the fact that you're one of our homeboys, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That ain't going to change.
Now, were you very active as a child? And did you play sports? And if so, which sports did you play?
Okay. We played football, stickball. I know you remember stickball.
I do.
We played street football, which was interesting when you played the other blocks.
Yes.
And I played a little bit of basketball, but believe it or not, I wasn't really that interested in basketball.
Oh, really?
Huh. I was more interested in football. Stickball was okay, and martial arts.
Okay. Martial arts as well. Perfect. So you were pretty active, right? So that's what I pretty much want to establish. You were very active from your youth. And did you like living here in New York?
Oh, yeah. It was an adventure. I mean, from the time I got off the plane and got into Brooklyn, the smell was totally different. It was just a different scent. I mean, after like at least a couple of years and stuff, you know, it's no big deal. But I remember the smell of the place. And I came in July, and it was chilly.
Really? Huh.
And it was just the smell of the place. All my senses were overstimulated.
You're talking about the smell from coming from Trinidad, where you had the beach and everything else, coming to New York, where you had basically concrete.
Oh, yeah, concrete, exhaust.
Exhaust, yes.
Whatever dried up on the pavement. I mean, smelled everything. I smelled everything. There was a different scent in the air, different perfume, different cologne. That's when I learned about Brut.
Cologne. You're a brute, really?
Because the guys, they'll be playing ball, and I don't know what made them think they can mask it by wearing Brute, but it was like, yo, what is that? And that's when I realized, you know, guys didn't drink water. They would just, you know, drink a liter of Pepsi.
Right
after
okay.
playing like 4 or 5 hours of basketball, and I was like, I don't know how y'all can do that, man. I can't drink soda like that.
Huh. So you're saying when you were living in Trinidad, you had a much more healthier lifestyle?
Well, I think it was because to get a soda was a treat. You
yes.
know, you get candy and stuff. It's really a treat. It's not a regular thing.
Ah, no. Big difference.
Big difference, man. I mean, it was like, I could count my hands the amount of times we saw. I mean, it, like, say, Christmas time. Yeah, you're going to see soda and stuff, soft drinks on the table and stuff. But other than that, you're seeing it rarely.
Well, here, you see it every day, everywhere, you know?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I came to New York. It was like a future shock, reality shock. It was like, wow. I mean, wow. I didn't even go outside that much because I was so wrapped up playing with the television. I mean, multiple channels. Yeah, I mean, the channels.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I was just like, I was going nuts because in Trinidad you only had one or two channels. That's it.
So how long did you stay in New York before you moved to Atlanta?
I moved to Atlanta after September 11th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that year, that was it. I was like, yeah, that's I had enough. I really did because I was trying to move out. I was trying to move out of New York for about 5 years prior to that.
Really? Okay.
Oh, I just couldn't find a place that I would be like, yeah, this is nice for home. This is good. I can do this.
So you moved to Atlanta, but why Atlanta?
Well, I did a recon mission. And I came down to Atlanta, and I stayed here for like about about 5 days, and I just checked out everything. Now, this was prior to September 11th.
Right.
And it was so sweet. I mean, it was just perfect, everything. I mean, I was doing job interviews over the phone. And they were like, yeah, come on now. When you're ready to move down, yeah, we'll be here for you. I mean, it was just unbelievably different from New York.
Different vibe, completely. The energy.
Yeah, totally different. I mean, I can't remember where I went, but a friend of mine took me to an area where it was just clubs. Like, at the time, you know, when I was a club goer, it was like literally a bunch of clubs in one area.
Really?
And you can go from one club to the next club to the next club. It was just, it was incredible. And then, you know, I mean, the cost of living was so much cheaper than New York. It
yes.
was like, I mean, I went to my first all-you-can-eat buffet in Atlanta, and I got into an eating contest with my friend, and he won because, you know, he was just big and round anyway. I don't know why. I just did for the hell of it. And it was like, really, it was more food that anyone could eat for that price. It was just like, okay, this is perfect. I can do this. I can literally do it. You know what I mean? And, yeah.
And the people were nice to you?
Yeah, they were nice. They really were. I mean, literally, genuinely.
Really, really. I mean, that means a lot.
Yeah, that means a great deal. And the trees, I have a thing with trees and nature. I need a balance. You know, New York, you got to go to either Prospect Park or Central Park or Upstate or Queens. You know, you got to travel to really to see trees and grass and, you know, just to enjoy that. You know, and it's all around here. And I'm like, yeah, I can really, really do this. You know, and it's really the big aspect is that when I lived in New York, I was spending most of my life trying to maintain a lifestyle. And here in Atlanta, I could actually enjoy life. Take time to be, take time to literally smell the roses. I mean, regardless of how crazy anything is, I can just basically go somewhere and stuff and just commune with nature and just be at peace. Or just take it easy, just a little bit before we go through the Tasmanian devil thing again.
Yeah, right. So the whole pace is slower in Atlanta than New York.
Yes, it is. It is not extremely to a crawl now. We're not talking about, like, I don't know, Mississippi or somewhere. That's just a whole other, or Shreveport.
Yes.
Because it's not like that. That's just a whole other, that's a whole other world.
Yeah, I know. I've been to that world. I know.
Oh, yeah. It's like you just start to look around and you just start, like, getting antsy all over and stuff because it's like this is just a little bit too subdued.
Too slow for you. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. But I've heard a lot of great things about Atlanta, how progressive it is, and the people, the businesses, you know, so I can see the opportunities were plentiful down there for you.
Yeah, they are. They really are. Opportunities are very plentiful, and it hasn't really stopped either. It's becoming somewhat of a, slowly becoming like a mecca.
Really?
There's a lot of businesses down here. A lot of studios are filming here as well, which makes sense because it's cheaper.
Yes.
You know? And I can understand why they're trying to make it into more of a tourist town. You know, seeing what's going on now. You know, housing is booming now again. And it's like, yeah, they're working hard for that. Yeah.
Do you know Lisa Tanker Potts from Boutique Fitness?
I do not. I was listening. You know what? I'll tell you something, though. I've probably seen her in different gyms and didn't even know who she was.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's how it is down here. You would see people and know them from sight before you even know their name. Then you're like, oh, you're so-and-so. That's who they're talking about. It's real common. There's so many trainers down here.
Oh, there's so many trainers. Really? Really?
Yeah, the industry is saturated with trainers.
Wow. Okay. Well, do you still travel back and forth to New York?
Oh yeah, always. I have my family there. My parents are there.
Okay. So cool. So one day when you come back to New York, just hit me up, give me a call, because I'd like to meet you personally.
I definitely will because I'm in New York at least once a year.
I do my children's sports and fitness expo in the summer. And if you come up in the summer, you got to come see what we do, you know?
I would love to see that, really. I mean, I saw kids working on the street in New York.
Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
foreign. Yeah, I mean, it's just been so long. I mean, I remember when we were kids and stuff, and that was a whole other culture, another world. I mean, we didn't want to be at home. You had to find us. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, the only time I came home was to eat and take a shower and sleep. That's about it. Other than that, you couldn't find me. You taking a bike ride to Prospect Park or somewhere, Coney Island. Man, please.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this, Ken. When did you realize that you wanted to become a personal trainer, and why?
It's a very interesting question, and I'm going to try to make it short and not too long.
Okay.
In Bed-Stuy, back in the day, one thing that everyone used to do was slap box.
Yeah, slap box. I remember that.
Yeah, you had to. You
yeah.
did that, or you're gonna get rolled on. Okay. So that's what motivated me to get into shape, to get
right.
more muscular, bigger, to get stronger. Because I didn't want to get my butt kicked 3 o'clock after school.
Exactly.
And that's a good motivation right there. Okay. You know,
yes.
I'm not trying to like Arnold or any of that and stuff. I just want to win. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. So that's where it started. That started in like junior high. No. Yeah, junior high. Okay, so junior high and then high school. High school, I just really started working out with weights in the weight room to the point where I started training guys. I didn't know I was doing that. But I was tricking guys. Next thing you know, of course, I'm loving the gym. So guess what? You're cutting classes, going to the gym and stuff. You know, I'm doing good in this class. This is cool. I could cut a few classes here and there and stuff and, you know, go to the gym. And next thing you know and stuff, had a few guys I was there I was training with. And then all of a sudden it turned out being 20.
Wow. 20.
Well, the reason why, and I found out later on and stuff, that some of the guys there, they were basically going into the Marines.
Ah, military.
So they wanted to get into shape.
Right, right.
So, in a way, I was helping the military.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the guys I was training, they recruited.
Really?
Yeah, but that recruiting sergeant, he loved me, man. Sergeant Williams, he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're doing a good thing for the country, Ken. I was like, yeah. I didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, I've been training, and then, you know, after high school, working, and I still kept going to the gym and stuff, and every now and then I would have somebody, and, you know, I'll charge him some few bucks here and there and stuff to train. I had no idea it was a profession.
Right, you didn't know.
I had no idea. I thought it was just coaches and on, you know, professional teams. They really, you know, those are real trainers and coaches. I had no idea. And, of course, I thought Jacqueline was just a joke because, you know, I'm like, you know, look at him. I mean, come on, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't know. I had no idea until literally around the time when after September 11th and I came here to Atlanta and found out everything changed. It wasn't as easy as it was to get a job anymore because after September 11th, everyone closed their doors.
Yeah, a lot of fear, man. It shut down. Yeah.
Okay. So I had to do odd jobs here and there, security, all types of stuff. And then finally I started thinking, well, look, I'm good at working out. I'm good at training. I'm very good at nutrition and stuff. Then I started looking into personal training.
Ah.
And then came the love affair. But I was been doing it for so long. I was doing it way even before. You know?
Right.
I was telling people what they eat, making shakes and stuff, and I've been doing it for a long time. I just didn't know it. It was like a hobby more than anything.
It became natural to you.
Yeah. And then I started really experimenting, and then it really became fun.
Yeah, exactly. I would imagine so. And it's amazing because it's your passion, and why not turn your passion into dollars, right?
Exactly.
Wow. So you went ahead and got your certifications?
Yeah, I got a bunch of those.
I know.
You know, it's good to have, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've seen trainers. It depends on the individual. It so depends on them.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
Because you can be very educated and still be an idiot. I mean, it doesn't really...
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely.
That paper has really nothing to do with the nature and the personality and character of this person. It really... I've learned that in the fitness industry a lot. People. You know, I've seen a guy with ACE certification do some of the most irresponsible things with clients and stuff. And it really depends on where you are.
Yes. No, I agree 100% in what you just said, Ken. I do. I mean, you can have the paper. You can have the paper knowledge of what it takes to train someone, but if you don't have the practical, you don't have the experience, what's the point? Or the personality, forget about it. You know?
Yeah.
I agree. Now, do you have your own fitness studio, or do you work out of gyms or in clients' homes?
I go in clients' homes. I've been in gyms for like 15 years, the corporate gyms and the commercial gyms and the boutique gyms. I've done that, and I can't even get back in there anymore. I tried. I just can't. I just got to take the next level.
Okay, all right. Because when you worked in a gym, you had to give part of your earnings to the gym owner, correct?
Of course, it's a split. You know, and sometimes the split is good, and then sometimes the split is not so good. And then sometimes you have to deal with management, which is in a whole other world, because bottom line, management is basically sales. And a lot of times there's not as much integrity there, you know, and it's like, come on, you know, people are really suffering because you're raping them, literally, you know. And, I didn't like that aspect of it. You know, it's all a numbers game, and I guess if I really wanted to make a gazillion, I would be on the sales side of this business and stuff. But at the same time, when integrity goes out the window, it's all about the numbers and stuff, you know, then fitness, health, it kind of really gets lost. Totally gets lost.
Yes, it's all about making the money. Yeah,
it's all about making the money, and I've seen how it's. You know, it would be great if there was a balance, but the capitalistic side of it always ends up winning. And I'm seeing where we are now. It's like most gyms, they want you to be almost like a stockbroker, and like the training is the last. You know, what are you gonna make this quota? Let's work on this quota and stuff. How much you're earning is going to be this quota and stuff for the company. And, you know, and if you don't make your quota, okay, there's going to be some consequences. And it's like, well, that's the case. I might as well just do something else.
I hear you. And I hear that all the time from other trainers. They tell me the same story. So you basically set out on your own. So you don't work for anyone but yourself. Is that correct, Ken?
Exactly. And I've tried to open up a company before and stuff, but it fell at the wayside. And what I have to learn how to do right now really is to, one, I need to find myself a couple of very good, successful mentors to learn the business side of things. And two, just got to go to school and take some business courses and stuff. Because the next evolution with me and what I'm doing and stuff, I have to open up my own facility. And it has to be like nothing that's ever been tried.
I see. Now, what is that? What do you mean like nothing that's ever been tried? Elaborate on that.
Well, I noticed with fitness, everyone takes their piece and they try to make a world with it. Okay? I mean, they have kettlebell studios. That's all they do is kettlebell. So you're doing kettlebell swings and this and that and goblet squats and this and that and everything. And I'm like, okay, honestly, kettlebell workouts might have you burn some calories and stuff, and you will get strong and powerful. But people come in there sometimes to lose 20 pounds, maybe more. And that's not going to do it. Just doing that. You know what I mean? It's you have to you have to do what works. And depending on the individual, it can be quite a few different things. It's, you know, it's supposed to be client specific, not trend that's out now that everyone wants to do. You know, I mean, you know, like CrossFit. It's not the beginning and the end.
I agree. You know? Agree. That's not for everyone either.
Exactly. You know, so that's what I was talking about when I say, like, you know, to have something that's totally different, something that's more holistic and inclusive, that will basically deal with the whole person.
Yes.
Not the trend. Not the fact.
We're going to talk about that too. I know where you're going with that, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're going to touch on the holistic portion. But before we do, let's talk about the state of health in this country today. Obesity and among adults and children is at an all-time high. Diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. And what do you attribute to the deterioration of the health of our country today?
I believe it's a couple of things. One is knowledge. Most people don't even know where their food really goes. They know where it goes or where it enters, and they know where it exits.
Right.
They really don't know. They just don't know how their body works. They just don't. They don't even know what they need to function daily.
Right.
They just really don't. And then the other thing is addiction.
Addiction?
Yeah. Addiction to basically what I call garbage, because it's not food. It's more like food byproduct. It's not real food.
Yeah. Yes.
Cheetos is not real food.
You know? You're right.
Okay.
Sure.
And look, we live in the Western world. The Western world is basically what defines you is what job you have and how much you can buy.
Yes.
How much you can spend.
Right.
Okay. That's the driving force since the industrial age. Okay, back then it was like a guy who's big and fat. He's like, okay, he's successful because he can actually afford to be a pig. You know, that's mindset.
You know, right.
And I'll be honest with you, it has just basically changed. All right, hear me out real quick. Back in the day, if you were skinny and slim and stuff, that means you're starving, you're not making any money and stuff, you're broke, you're a bum. Okay, if you were big and fat, you're doing very well because you can afford to be big and fat. Because you can eat steaks every day like Babe Ruth or Orson Welles. Now, everything is switched around now. CEOs are slimmer because they're like, okay, if I'm taking care of myself, that reflects that I'm intelligent and I'm
right.
A leader. Even, what do you call it? Because if you're a CEO now and you're humongous, slob walking around smelling, that means that you're really not intelligent and you're not going to be around that long.
It totally switched.
Exactly. It's totally switched. So now, if you're not intelligent, really intelligent, you're going to look out of shape. You're going to be sick a lot and stuff because you just don't know. CEOs are watching their diet, they're eating more green, more whole foods now and stuff, because they want to be around to enjoy the wealth that they're making. They also want to have this image of wisdom, strength, and youth. Things are changing around now and stuff. People are starting to become more health conscious now. Are they getting the information that they need that's true and not trendy stuff that is still selling out there?
Yes.
Maybe not, but they actually want to eat better and have a better quality of life. Things are changing. Things are changing slowly, but it's happening. It's really happening because all of a sudden now it's like everybody's looking for personal trainers. They might not be able to afford them, but they're looking for personal trainers because they know they can't do it on their own, and they're like, I don't have much time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to get off these drugs as soon as, you know, I don't want to take high blood pressure pills for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
I don't want to take Lyrica and stuff because the side effects will kill me or drive me crazy. You know, so people are like, yeah, I got to bite the bullet. And I have to really start learning how to take care of myself because the doctor does not care.
Exactly. They don't care about you. You have to care about yourself and take responsibility for your own health. And, you know, and speaking about that, you know, let's talk about the fact that I know that you are attending Everglades University, pursuing a degree in alternative medicine. Explain to my listeners what is meant by alternative medicine.
Alternative medicine is anything that is not Western medicine. No, I'm saying that's the easiest way I can break it down to. When you think of anything that's not allopathic medicine, where it's basically they're like just giving you a lot of prescriptions and telling you that, your blood pressure is not bad. It's pretty good. And really and truly, they're just not telling you that, well, you're on the edge.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Anything that's opposite of that is alternative medicine, which means we come down to herbs, nutrition, also going into chiropractic.
Chiropractic, right. Okay.
Exactly. We're learning about the body, kinesiology. I mean, some of the things that you naturally learn when you get your certification, but also we go into psychology.
The mental aspect of it.
Yes. Anatomy, physiology. We also look into the mind-body connection, health, you know, you relaxation and stress reduction, all different things that are basically what I notice now that a lot of places are doing in a lot of hospitals, that they're kind of making it complementary. So you will have a masseuse on board. It's before they never did. They were like, what's the point of that? Just take these pills, you'll be fine. Now, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you, I'm not against Western medicine in any way or form, because bottom line, if I have a tumor that needs to be removed, yeah, I'm going to go in the hospital. I'm going to get an operation done.
Right.
You know? So, yes, you know, it's what I believe deep down in my heart and soul is that there should be a balance, a total balance. That's right now everyone is leaning either one way or the other way. And I'm like, look, it's all good. It really is all good.
Yeah,
you have a way of living an extreme lifestyle. It's either all the way to the left or all the way to the right. And that unbalance has us end up getting sick.
Right.
Oh, you know? Like Atkins. You can't live on an Atkins diet. Your body isn't designed that way.
No, exactly. I mean, it would work short term, but you can't live on it. Exactly.
Yeah.
You cannot live on it.
Exactly.
I believe that nutrition is, like the majority, is the most important part of this, of your health. And what do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I believe so. Nutrition is extremely important. You are what you consume.
Exactly. You know, and most of us are consuming the wrong foods.
Well, a lot of us don't know what real food is.
And that's to your point. Now, some people think health and fitness are the same.
No.
What do you think about? Explain the difference.
No. Fitness is performance.
Good point.
There's a lot of people out there that can do some incredible things and stuff, but they still, you know, drink like, half a gallon of vodka daily. You know, eat like Polish sausages and stuff. And, I mean, they're not, when you talk about health, now you're talking about the state of your internal organs.
Ah, the state of the internal organs. That's very interesting. Very good.
Internal organs is also your skin, too, which is the largest organ you have in your body. Yeah. It's when you talk about health, now you're talking about how you are functioning internally.
Mm-hmm. Internally,
that's a whole other world. Man, that's harder. So much harder. Because that means you have to actually look at what you're putting into your mouth.
That is so important. That is so good. So by having this degree, by learning about alternative medicine, that's going to complement your personal training business, correct?
Yes, it is.
Wow, that's excellent, man. And are you going to, how do you promote your business?
Well, I had a website. I had to take it down, so I have to do it all over again. I have to start from scratch and just basically start from new, build a new website. Well, really, I'm trying to build a couple of websites now and stuff. I'm starting everything all over again. Because
okay,
I realize I can't really do things the way how I did before, because it's like I have to take it to the next level. After basically putting some new information and stuff and promote it in a different way. I've always learned that if you want something, a different result, you got to do something different. You definitely have to do something different. So now
okay.
I'm starting all over again.
Okay.
And I'm going to take my time with it too, because it's like right now finishing school, I got a year, one more year to go.
One more year. Okay.
One more year. So that's like paramount. You know,
yes.
I have like a couple of clients that I've been training for over a decade, and I'm holding on to them and stuff. Yeah, I retain clients for like at least 5 years.
Wow, that says a lot about you. That's great.
Yeah, I've seen. I love training my my prenatal clients. I love training my mommies, and they. Okay. Seeing the baby after and how healthy the baby is because of all the working out and stuff prior to, it's just fantastic. And now it's like, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. I love that. I love training my my brides to be. That is like the most motivated client you can ever have.
Really?
It's a bride to be. Man, it's like, hey, I got to knock off 20 pounds, and I have 3 to 4 months because I got to fit into this dress. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Wow, this is how we're going to do it. So they're very dedicated, huh?
Oh, yeah. That wedding is like the most important day in life.
That's true.
And the dress is about 15 grand as it is. Oh, yeah, she's going to fit into it.
So you like training those brides-to-be?
Oh, yeah. I love
Funny.
It. Prenatal clients, brides-to-be. And, you know, people just basically have, like, different problems, like neurological problems. You know, this neuropathy, that's a whole other world, man. When your legs, and you can't feel the nerves in your legs, and you're just not sure of yourself, that's really something else. I got a client that like that right now and stuff, and it's really something. It's really every little milestone he makes, it's so important. So important. Because it's a scary thing. I just imagine that you really can't feel your feet completely connecting to the floor.
It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, you just have no confidence. You know,
yes.
You're just on the edge all the time.
You're able to help those clients as well.
Oh, yeah.
Any special advice for my listeners on how to stay healthy?
Staying healthy is basically doing this. You don't do any extreme eating. In other words, you got to remember now, overeating, that's physical abuse. I mean, eating until you can't move.
Yes,
I
know.
That's abuse. That's abuse.
A lot of us do it.
Yeah, your body's going nuts and your insulin level goes so high and stuff. All you could do is nod off for a few hours and stuff. That's a real shock to your system. So you just don't go that far. Now, eating meats, that's not a problem. It's the carbs.
It's the carbs.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Those candy yams and all the candy. It's literally candy because it's loaded with. So I remember one time I saw this lady make candy yams, I was stunned. The amount of sugar and mashed potatoes. And no, not mashed potatoes. I'm sorry. Marshmallows.
Marshmallows, yes.
It was like she was about to throw in some Skittles. I was like, yo, what are you doing? That's just... It was
too much. Wow. Wow. Yes.
So the thing is that if you've come so far... Okay, and you have basically reached a weight that you want to be, or you feel, you know, happy in your skin, because this is what it comes down to. Don't throw it away. You might think that this is a reward, but the reward would be not to go crazy. Don't go
Good
crazy.
Point.
Okay?
Don't go crazy.
Sometimes we like to reward ourselves, and we're thinking, okay, I've been good for so long, I can just take out for 3 days. And it's like, no. You're taking yourself back to first base by doing so. That doesn't make any logical sense. That's irrational thinking. Okay?
Yes.
You know, if you just have a little fun, yeah, no problem. You know, your body's got you. The metabolism is fast and everything. But if you overdo it and you're just laying around, you're going to go back in time. And that's not where you really want to be. The whole thing is to really be like, okay, where do I want to be after this is over?
Right.
Do I want to be 6 pounds heavier? No. You know, so, you know, stay true to who you are, not who you were.
Who you are, and no extreme eating. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Incredible, man.
I like that, Ken. But what's on your next agenda? What's on your bucket list for the future?
Bucket list for the future are some projects that I have in mind, and it's basically set up one after another because one affects the other. I can't get into details about it because it's
right.
Really, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay. It involves some traveling.
Traveling?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Like different, somewhat resorts. Yeah. I like to take the fitness on the seas and, you know, different areas in the world, different exotic areas. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Look, that sounds great to me. That sounds wonderful, man. You can visualize that. That must be a beautiful scene, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm seeing it right now, and I'm like, yes. Because I really want to connect people back to nature. We have a kind of a detached way of looking at things. And God knows when you connect with that and stuff, it's a total different world. You know how it is and stuff. I mean, you can stay in a building and stuff and work out and stuff and just feel that institutionalized feeling and stuff. But when you're outside in the field, and you're breathing in the oxygen from the grass and trees, it's a whole other world.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How can my listeners connect with you? Are you on social media?
Well, I've got a few, on Twitter. I'm definitely.
Okay.
And the name of... the page is The World of Do.
The World of Do.
Yep.
Really? That's your Twitter account?
Yep. The World of Do.
The World of Do. Okay. Sounds good. And your website's not up yet?
It's not up yet. But when it is, I'll definitely let you know.
Let me know, and I'll shoot an email to everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, Ken, man, it's been great talking with you, man. You have a lot to say, and I want to stay in touch with you for my listeners and myself so we can be kept abreast of what you're doing. And hopefully we can have you on again in the future, you know, once you get that degree in alternative medicine, man, and share some wisdom with us.
Oh, man, I would love that. I would love it. I'm definitely going to stay in contact with you. And
please
you'll
do.
You'll see me probably, yeah, you'll see me next year. You will.
No, I'm going to hold you to that, man. So on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. You take care.
Oh, man, thank you. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks to Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com. Or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care and bye-bye.